Good morning. How are we all doing? That is why you are not running the BMO. That reason right there. Wow. Unbelievable. Hey, I heard there's kids in the house. And so kids, if you're in the house, I heard you have to go. So it's going to get hot in here today. So your leaders are right over there. That's who you want to see. So if you're a child in the house, not childlike, but if you are an actual child, like right over there is where you want to go. You're going to have a great time. You're going to have a great time. So I'm excited you guys are here. I'm excited because if you're here, it probably means you did not run the BMO, which makes me feel better about myself because that is something I will never do, okay? Everyone this week's like, I'm eating my kale salad, I'm running the BMO, and I'm like, I will never eat a kale salad, nor will I run that BMO. So I'm so happy you're here because you make me feel a lot better myself about myself, but when I get to 11:15, I'm just going to feel horrible about myself. So I'm just preparing myself for that, so I'm glad you're here. So, by the way, most of you probably don't know who I am. Who is that guy up there shouting it down? My name's Catlin, and I'm one of the pastors here. I like to keep a low profile, so a lot of you don't know who I am, but I come out every now and again, and I'm here. Okay, so lately, over the last number of months, I've been hearing a lot about this place called Ernest Ice Cream. Okay, I don't know how many of you have been to Ernest Ice Cream, but, okay, just a few, and, but all over my social media, right, people hashtagging at Ernest, eating Ernest, right, hashtag best ice cream, and everyone's going there, and everyone's like, oh, I'm at Ernest, and Ernest, and I'm like, what's this rumor about Ernest Ice Cream? Like, why is there such a rumor going around that Ernest Ice Cream is the best ice cream? Because I'm going to be honest with you, I'm a blizzard kind of guy, right? I'm a blizzard kind of guy. Like, give me, you know, that chocolate explosion. We good, right? But everyone's shouting down Ernest Ice Cream. So a couple weeks ago, my friend I was like, bro, we got to go Ernest. I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this thing. Let's go. And so he takes me over to this new location over here. And we head in there. And first of all, I had to wait 40 minutes, which when you got to wait 40 minutes for ice cream, I'm already upset. Right? Ain't no waiting at Dairy Queen, right? Right? You just get it. So I'm like waiting 4 minutes. I'm like, bro, this better be good because I'm going to be very unhappy, right? So we get up to the tail and the lady's like, what you want? And so I see the mocha chip, right? The mocha chip. I don't know if you had the mocha chip. You already know where I'm going, right? Because I'm excited right now. And so I'm like, well, I get the mocha chip, but just one scoop because, you know, I don't want to go all in. Right? I have commitment issues, so I don't want to go all in, right? Two scoops. So one scoop because I'm a little nervous. So I get the one scoop, and I take that first lick, right? And then right away I regret I did not get two scoops. And it's that mocha chip was so good. And sometimes in our lives we'll hear rumors that don't always hold up to what you've heard. But then there's times in your life that you'll hear a rumor that will change your life and potentially even save your life. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about a rumor that is going to change your life. It has the potential to change and save your life, this place this morning. And so I want to share that rumor with you. It's going to get hot in here. We're headed to Mark. It's going to be up on your screen. I'm in Mark 3 this morning. We're talking about, we're in a series called the truly great or true greatness, and we're talking about the truly great spread rumors. We're in Mark 3, and it says, another time he, that is Jesus, went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Now, we don't know why his hand was shriveled. We don't know if it was a birth defect. We don't know if it was like an accident at work. We just know there's a guy with a shriveled hand. And it says, some of them, verse 2, some of them were there looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely. These would be the Pharisees, religious leaders. And Jesus was just making the Pharisees so mad with what he was up to because he was doing things that they believed were so against what they were standing for and what they believed and what they thought the Old Testament had foretold. So they were so upset by Jesus that they're looking for any reason to accuse Jesus. I call these guys the haters. Haters gonna hate. Come on, T-Swift, right? Come on, guys. 1989. So I call these guys the haters. And they're looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So it says, so they watched him closely. I love that because this is what I see. that Jesus has entered into the synagogue, and every head looks to Jesus. Hundreds of people all of a sudden see Jesus in the house, and everyone's watching Jesus now. He hasn't even said anything. He hasn't done anything. I don't know if you've ever been to a party like VIP, where it's like exclusive, you know? I haven't really been to any, but I don't know if you've been to them. But I know, like, when I go out with Ken Shiggs, and sometimes I go to an event, and it's like, oh, hi, who are you? I'm like, I'm Calvin. Like, we don't know you. I'm like, I'm with Ken Shiggs. Like, oh, yeah, of course, 100%, get on in. And I'm like, wow, okay. Okay, this is totally tangent. One time I'm at Stanley Park, and there's a race happening. I don't know what kind of race, because I told you earlier I'm not going to do them. So there's a race, and I'm just enjoying. I'm snapping photos, right? Panorama. Ken Shiggs is running by me, and he stops to say hi. And these two girls, I kid you not, taking photos of, like, the city landscape, are like, oh, my gosh, is that Ken Shigematsu? And I'm like, and so they're like, oh, my gosh. And then they ask me, oh, you're talking to him. Do you know him? This is a total tangent, by the way. Do you know him? I'm like, yeah, I know him. Actually, I work with him. Oh, my gosh, you know Ken Shiggs? I'm like, yeah, you know I work there, too, and everything, right? And then they're like, oh, my gosh, so you know him. And, like, they just don't care who I am or anything about me. This is why I keep a low profile, right? Because nobody cares. Anyways, all that to say, when you go to an event with Ken Shiggs, you're known. Here's the scenario. I love this scene in the Bible because Jesus walks in the synagogue and everybody looks. Imagine you're a disciple like you, Peter, or John, or forget them. They're known. Imagine you like Bartholomew. Nobody even knows who that is. That he's a disciple, Bartholomew, but nobody knows who he is. Imagine Bartholomew and you walking in behind Jesus and it's like everybody looks at Jesus. And then all of a sudden some of the people looking are the haters, people trying to find any reason to accuse Jesus. And so they're finding any reason. So it says, it goes on, verse 2, some of them were there looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a day of the week where it was meant for rest. But the Pharisees had turned up so religiosity that you could not do anything on the Sabbath, including compassion works, including good works. So they know there's a guy with a shriveled hand. They know the rumors of Jesus that have been going out, that Jesus has been healing people. And then they're just like, give me a reason, Jesus. Heal this guy. Please give me a reason. Because we need grounds to trial you on. We need grounds to murder you on. Please give me a reason. And then this is what I love. Jesus, verse 3, said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everybody. He doesn't even say anything else. Just stand up in front of everybody. He already knows where their head and hearts are at. Stand up in front of everybody. Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill? But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. It goes on in verse 7, it says, Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake. And a large crowd from Galilee followed when they heard all that he was doing. I'm going to pause there. You see, you don't heal a man on the Sabbath. You don't heal a shriveled hand and not cause a commotion. People are going to notice that there is a guy that his hand has been healed, and people are going to spread rumors about that. You see, Jesus isn't trending on Twitter, right? He didn't take an Instagram selfie with the healed guy. Look what I just did. Hashtag healed. Right? He didn't check in on Facebook. Literally, stories are going out about Jesus. Rumors are being spread. When it says, when they heard all that he was doing. In other words, when they're hearing stories of what he's been doing. When people have gone and told those that they're running into. That there's this guy healing people. There's this guy hanging out with people that he shouldn't be hanging out with. That he's doing incredible things, and stories and rumors are being spread about Jesus. So much so that, check this out, it says many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan around Tyre and Sidon. These cities and regions are hundreds of kilometers apart, and yet people are hearing about Jesus because somebody's saying something. Because somebody's spreading a rumor, somebody's saying a story, somebody's sharing something that's happened. So people are coming from so far away, 100, 200 kilometers away. And then it says in verse 9, they're at the lake. It says, because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. And another version, it says, he told his disciples to get a boat ready so he wouldn't be trampled by the crowd. For he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Incredible. That so many stories had gone out about Jesus, so many rumors had been spread about Jesus, so many accounts had been told about Jesus, that people have come from so far away to see the guy who's been doing the incredible things, hanging out with those you shouldn't be hanging out with, healing those who are sick and blind and lame. So much so that he's getting almost trampled because everyone's trying to touch Jesus. Because somebody has said something, because somebody has told a rumor. A little bit farther into the gospel, at John 4, we find Jesus now in the desert. And Jesus is with the disciples. I call them the groupies because they spend all their time with Jesus, day in, day out. And so him and his groupies are in the desert, and they're traveling all night, come up to this well, and Jesus sends his groupies into town so that they could get supplies, and Jesus just hanging out at the well. While that's happening, this woman approaches the well. And as she's coming in the heat of the day, expecting no one to be there. Most people from her town probably would have gone to the well in the early hours of the morning when it's cool. But she chooses to go in the heat of the day, when nobody else should be at the well. Probably because she has been rejected by her town, because later in the story, as her and Jesus will start to dialogue, we find out that she's had many partners, and there's probably a sense of shame and rejection from the people of this town that she doesn't want to associate with anyone, be seen by anyone, so she's going to go to the town at the point in the day where there should be no one else. But then what's interesting is Jesus is there at that very moment. Isn't that so true in our lives? That at the moment when we don't want anyone in our lives, when we want to isolate, the moment we want to push people away, the moment we don't want God in our life, that's the very moment Jesus is already there. And it's not like she went and looked for Jesus. Jesus is waiting there for her, and he's there in her life right when she approaches the well. And isn't that good? That right when that woman needs Jesus, he's there. And so she approaches the well, Jesus is there, and Jesus opens dialogue with her, with this woman so full of shame. And they start to talk, and Jesus starts to tell her things that are true about her life, things that she had not revealed. And so she's come to get her water, and he starts to talk to her about these things that she had not revealed, and she's so moved by Jesus. All of a sudden, the disciples return, and this is where we'll pick it up, John 4, verse 27. Just then, his disciples returned, but they were surprised to see Jesus talking with the woman, but no one asked him anything, like, what are you doing, or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jars, which to me is a little incredible, because this woman has come all the way to the well from her town to fill her water jars. And she leaves the very thing she has come to get, because the interaction with Jesus was so moving that she has to run back to town. So it says, then leaving her water jars, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? What a rumor. What a rumor that this woman would tell these people in the town that she's met a guy that's told her everything about herself, that she's even saying, could this be the Christ? Could this be the Messiah that was foretold? Could this possibly be him? And so she invites them. It says, come and see a man. Verse 30, they came out of the town and made their way toward him. Jumping down to verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. In other words, because of the woman's story, because of the woman's rumor, people chose to believe in Jesus and give their life to Jesus. Verse 41, they meet Jesus, and it says, and because of his words, many more became believers. So they went after Jesus because she had told a story, she had spread a rumor about Jesus, about a guy that had told her things that she had not revealed to him. And people believed in Jesus because she had testified about him. And then others were like so intrigued by the rumor, by the story, that they're like, I want to see Jesus for myself. They go, and then they end up believing in Jesus. Verse 42, they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said, just because of your rumor. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Come on. I believe we need to be a generation of people who are spreading rumors about Jesus. I said in the very beginning that we'll hear rumors in life that don't live up to expectations, but there are moments in our lives that we'll hear a story or we'll hear a rumor that will change our lives. I believe we need to be people who are spreading rumors about that latter one, the one that will change lives and potentially even save lives. So the question is, how do we spread rumors? I want to give you three things this morning. I would write them down, right? I mean, pull out your smartphone, take that little golf pencil. I mean, I would write these down. This is going to change your life, okay? The first one is be open. When I was in junior high and high school, we have junior high back home. And when I was in junior high and high school, I had this circle of people I'd hang out with, my network, we called them friends back then, right? But I had my friends, and in my circle of friends, I had particularly five people that were in my circle of friends that whenever we'd be hanging out in common areas, say you like in the cafeteria, you just hanging out, that they would be whispering amongst themselves, and you're like, you are so weird. So sometimes you would inquire, like, what are y'all talking about? What are you guys talking about? And they'd be like, oh, nothing, nothing. And they'd be like, oh, you're so weird. And they would whisper, and literally for years, from like grade 7 all the way to grade 12, they'd just be doing this, right? Junior high into high school. And I'm like, yeah, you guys are so weird. But sometimes I'd eavesdrop. And so sometimes I'd hear words like this, like paintball. Like, ooh. Or sometimes I'd hear words like Wednesday night or Sunday, or sometimes I even heard the word church. And for years, I was always like, what are these five people talking about that none of the rest of our circle of friends know about? Or like, you will not talk to us about what is happening. So I literally spent like 6 years eavesdropping. I don't care. I'm a creep. Whatever. I was just eavesdropping. It is what it is. I'm eavesdropping, and I eventually found out that they were talking about a youth group at a church down the road from my high school where they would meet on Wednesday nights, and sometimes they go paintballing. We should do that. We should definitely do that. Okay, they would do that. So anyway, so I eavesdrop. And so one day, 17 years old, I make a conscious choice just on my own accord because I had eavesdropped and found out where it was that I was going to go to this place. I end up going. I'm getting saved like 8 months later. In other words, what I mean by saved is I met Jesus personally. I started a personal relationship with Jesus a number of months later. But I always wonder to myself to this day, why were these five people not open? Why would they not just be open about their lives or who they are? And I've always wondered to myself, why would they not be spreading rumors in my school? Junior high, high school. Why would they not be shouting down Jesus? Why would they not be shouting down what they're up to Wednesday nights? Talking about what they're doing because they're just not open. And I think to myself, how many more people in my high school could have met Jesus? How many more people could have got saved? How many years earlier could I have been saved? But they were so unopened, they were so closed off that they would not tell stories, they would not spread rumors, they would not shout anything down of what they were up to about Jesus, that I almost missed it. And if I wasn't such a creep and eavesdrop, I would have missed it. And I think about when we go to work on Monday, and most often we get the question, what'd you do this weekend? I imagine tomorrow a lot of you like, well, not you guys, you can't say you ran the BMO. But I imagine others would be like, I ran the BMO. Other people might be like, well, I watched the fight on Saturday night. But I wonder how many people are open that it's like, oh yeah, I watched the fight Saturday night and then Sunday morning I went to church. But I wonder how many of us leave that out. Oh, I watched the fight Saturday night. I ran the BMO. I hung out with my kids. I worked on homework, whatever it is that you did. But how many of us are so close to the idea that we're so afraid for some reason of what people will think, that we're closed off about our own life, that we won't even shout it down, that, oh yeah, then I met up with some friends and we went to church on Sunday, and then I went and got that Alaska roll down at Sushi Cali. And it's like, we won't even shout down what we did, because sometimes we're so closed off that we won't even talk about our own faith in such a natural way. And I find that so often, we always say like, oh, people that, you know, they don't know Jesus, they get awkward. I actually, in my own experience, they only get awkward because we get awkward. And if only we were just open with our relationship with God, if only we were just so open with our lives, that is such an easy way to spread rumors and spread stories about Jesus in our own lives. Number two, we need to live a life of invitation. I love the woman at the well when she runs back to town and she invites an entire town to come see Jesus. Come see a man that told me everything about myself. Come see a man that told me things about myself in which I did not reveal. And how hard would that have been for this woman to invite these people who she feels so much shame around? And she invites them. And I love that invitational spirit, because how easy is that to invite somebody? And it's not our responsibility if they show up or not. It's just our responsibility to be living a life of invitation. And I love our community at 10th because it's so easy. It's so easy just to invite to a Christmas concert or like an Easter celebration, or to invite to like a course like the Jesus You Never Knew or to whatever. I feel like it's so easy in this community to live such a life that's invitational. I feel like such an easy way to spread rumors is to have a lifestyle that is so invitational to everybody, invitational to your own life, invitational to your own home, and invitational to the things that you're doing with your own faith and with your relationship with Jesus. Number three is use every opportunity. Use every opportunity. A lot of you have social media. I believe social media is an amazing way to use every opportunity. Some of you are a little bit older in the house and you're like, I don't have social media. Do not lie to me. I have a bunch of you moms on my Facebook and I'm getting recipes all up on my newsfeed. Okay? Do not lie to me. You got social media. I will not bake those things, but if you bake it for me, I will eat it. Okay? Just shut that down right now. We need to use every opportunity. I believe one of the best opportunities we can use is our own influence on social media. I think it's so easy. And you know, so many people, I see so many people shouting down like Ernest Ice Cream. But then in my head, I'm like, Ernest Ice Cream don't save. But nobody's shouting down on their social media Jesus and what they're up to. And the fact, like, what they're doing or things they're attending or shouting down on Instagram what they're doing or what they're at or who they're with. And I feel like social media is such an easy way to shout down what you're doing to spread rumors through your social media handles. And it's such a simple way to shout down Jesus and what he's doing in your life. But so many of us are too busy Instagramming other things or shouting down other things that people are seeing, but that are rumors that aren't going to save. I feel like social media is such an easy way to do that. I have a friend of mine who is a president of a large company here in Vancouver, and he was going down to a shareholders meeting to a big city in America. And he was headed down there, and before he left, he calls me up and he's like, Cal, I just want to pray with you because in my big presentation to all these people, I'm actually going to insert my testimony into what I'm saying. And I'm actually going to shout down the fact that, yeah, it's because of all these shares. Yeah, it's because the year's been good that we are so successful. But I also want to shout down the fact that I believe that there's a God who is blessing us. And I want to talk about my story in my shareholders' presentation. And I was like, that's incredible. And what a way to use every opportunity. Even as obscure as it might seem, or as crazy it might seem, use every opportunity. We have one of our students that comes to one of our gatherings. She comes up to me a number of weeks ago, and she's like, Catlin, I'm gonna enter the Miss BC pageant. Now, I'm not endorsing Miss BC either way, okay? I'm just not. I really don't care, okay? I'm not endorsing it either way. But she comes up to me and she says, I've enrolled in Miss BC into this pageant. And Catlin, what I found out is that you have to represent somebody or something. Miss something, right? And she says, Cat, I want to represent 10th Church. I want to be Miss 10th Church. I'm like, oh, this is crazy, right? Miss 10th Church. And, but here's why. She says to me, Callan, because I found out that every person gets 10 minutes in this massive auditorium with all these people. They get 10 minutes to talk about whoever they're representing. So in other words, Callan, I get 10 minutes to talk to an auditorium full of people about how I came to 10th Church, I found Jesus, and Jesus has radically changed my life, and I get to shout that down for 10 minutes. And I get to spread rumors to an auditorium of people about Jesus, who I have found, who has saved me, and who has radically changed my life. And I get to shout that down for 10 minutes, and ain't nobody pulling me off the stage, and I'm just like, this is so radical, and I'm like, what a way to use every opportunity to shout down Jesus. a number of years ago, three years ago, 2012, something happened in our city that wrecked me. What happened in 2012 was there was a story that would hit the media. And the story was of a young woman in our city who was so extremely bullied, both online and in person and in the physical, that she would end up taking her own life. Her name was Amanda Todd. I remember the night the story hit the media, I was actually at a huge event, and I was supposed to be on stage, and I remember I was so wrecked by the news. That I couldn't even go on stage that day. And I started thinking about the story, and I started reading all about it. I started pursuing the media about it and like finding articles, and I saw the video, and I was so affected by this story. My eyes are sweating. This is weird. Because she went to a public high school of a couple thousand people. And I remember that night thinking to myself, Jesus, in this high school, was there nobody that knew you? Surely there had to be. How is it in this massive high school that nobody was spreading rumors about you? Nobody was telling stories about you? Nobody was shouting you down? How is it that Amanda did not hear stories about a savior? How is it that Amanda did not hear stories about a God who is so relentlessly in love with her? How is it that Amanda didn't hear about a God who is her defender when she needed defending? How is it that she didn't hear about a God who's already taken and gave his own life? So Amanda, you don't have to do that. Amanda, why didn't nobody tell Amanda a rumor about a place that has such authentic relationships and community and friendships when she was so desperately looking for friends? I remember thinking, why did no one spread rumors in her high school? Why did no one tell her about Jesus? Why was no one shouting him down? I believe that we have to go public with this thing. That we have to live lives that are spreading rumors and telling stories, unafraid, unashamed, shouting it down. Because there are people in our city who are so broken and so hurting. That they're in such desperate need of Jesus. And the reality is we know that. And we know Jesus. And there's some of us that, if we're true with ourselves, we're not shouting it down, we're not spreading rumors, we're not telling stories, we're not even saying what we did on the weekend. And there are people so desperate for Jesus in our city. And so we have to go public with this thing. I want to close by telling you the first rumor. It's a rumor, it's a story I was told 10 years ago. And the rumor is this, that there is a God who is so audaciously in love with you, so relentlessly pursuing you, so incredibly in love with you, and that we could know that God. And his name is Jesus, and Jesus would trade heaven for you so he could spend forever with you. That is our God. And that is the God who is so in love with you and is pursuing you and is wanting to know you. And if you don't know that in the house this morning, I wanted to spread the first rumor to you. That God is so desperately in love with you and wants to know you. And you have the opportunity to know him. And if there's some of you in the house this morning that it's been so long for you since you talked, since you've been with Jesus, that same God is so for you. That there is nothing you could ever do that would remove his love from you. That's our God. If that's you in the house today and you're like, yeah, maybe I want to know this God. I'm going to just pray to close today. And I want to pray for you. Or if you have been so distant from Jesus, I want to pray for you. And I also want to challenge us as a community that we need to be people that truly great people are spreading rumors and telling stories and talking about Jesus. So let me pray for us as a community. Let's pray that Jesus would do incredible things through us in our city. Jesus, we thank you that you are so in love with us, that you are so for us, that even before we knew you, you were already giving your life for us. That you are so relentlessly, audaciously, ridiculously in love with us. That you so badly want to know us. And Jesus, I pray that we would be people who would not be afraid, not be ashamed, God, to talk about you, to spread rumors about you in the city, because there are rumors that will not live up to expectations, but then there is the chance that there is a rumor that will save a life. And Jesus, that is the truth that we have today, and that is the story we have to tell, and that is the rumor we have to share. We pray, God, for people that are in the house today that are maybe for the first time hearing about this incredible love. We pray, God, for their own realization about your love for their life. Right now, in your name, Jesus, we pray for those that have been so distant from you, God, that for those people, God, that they would know that they are so unconditionally loved, it does not matter. It is as far as the east is from the west, that there is nothing that could separate your love from them. I pray that they would know that truth today in their life. I pray that our city would look different. Because while people are waiting for that 99, they're hearing rumors. While people are at the water cooler, they're hearing rumors. While people are walking the streets, they're hearing rumors. And our city would literally shift and look differently because your spirit is so moving through your people in the city. We thank you for that, God. We thank you for your amazing, unconditional love for us, God. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.